Recording progress. Okay, at this point, it is 4:34 p.m., and I can now call this meeting of the City of Madison Sustainable Medicine Committee to order. Staff, Mr. Greg, please read the opening statement.
Great. Okay, welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items before beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original email. To members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting members. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all panelists will be unmuted briefly. Staff will click the raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hand will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, the name you entered in Zoom must match the name you entered in registration. You will remain muted until called upon. The clerk will tell you when your time is up. After speaking, a member of the board may ask you a question. If you need to share documentation with the board, please send it to the email listed on today's agenda. Please do not use your video. If you turn on your video, it will be shut off. Chair, the floor is yours. A little bit rougher one today. I've been up since 7 a.m. at the BRT station, so thank you everyone for letting me
Doing
struggle
good
through.
work for the city. So we appreciate. And I'll be using that on Wednesday, so to get to school. Thank you so much. At this point, I'll toss it back to you. Can we do a roll call?
Absolutely. Heather Driscoll. And just join the waiting room, Heather Driscoll. I'll circle back. Alder Conklin.
Present.
Alder Conklin, present. Christina Carvalho.
Present.
Carvalho, present. Kai Brito.
Present.
Brito, present. Susan Millar.
Present.
Millar, present. Sam Warden.
Present.
Sam Warden, present. Riley Willman.
Present.
Riley Willman, present. Alder Govindarajan.
Here.
Rajan present. Alder Wahili is traveling and is excused. Kimberly Cho.
Present.
Kimberly is present. Aaron is also excused. Sam Vineski is excused. And Heather, I see that you're here. Heather, are you present?
Yep, present.
Present. Glad to have you. We have quorum, and Kyle, pass it back to you.
Okay, thank you so much. In a virtual meeting like this, it is particularly important that we carefully follow Robert's Rules of Order. Therefore, please do not speak until you've raised your hand and have been recognized by the chair, which is me, for this meeting. The chair will ask for a motion and second for each agenda item, unless there's notice for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as a point of order or request for information, please use the raise hand function. At this point, can we ask for an approval of the meeting minutes? Motion to approve. I see a motion made by Sam Warden. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second from, I think I heard from Riley. So we can put Mr. Riley Woman on there. And then is there any discussion? Seeing no course for discussion, we can do a vote by unanimous approval. If no one objects, then this motion can pass. In 3, 2, 1. Sounds like this motion passes to approve the meeting minutes. At this point, do we have any public comment? It sounded like there wasn't any, Greg.
We have no registrants for public comment.
Okay, no registration for public comment. Disclosures and recusals. If anyone has any disclosures or recusals to make regarding any items up for discussion, please state them now. Not hearing any. Seems like we can move on to, so we're moving on to new business. That's Legistar number 85140, authorizing the City of Madison to apply to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for a Ready for Reuse Brownfields Cleanup Zero Interest Loan in an amount not to exceed $1,027,300 for the purpose of assisting in a remediation of contaminated soil at Huxley Yards, 2007 Roth Street for District 12.
And so just for some context on this, Alder, well, Healy pulled this and from the Common Council consent agenda and had it referred to this committee, I believe, just for comment. Unfortunately, Alder Wahili can't be here. She's traveling and she was hoping to join by phone earlier. So just in the brief interaction I was able to have, she said she just wanted to share it with us and allow for discussion if anyone had comments. We've been joined by two staff members from Economic Development, Tom Otto and Matt Mikulajewski, who are both here to kind of provide context and answer any questions as it relates to this item. Tom, I don't know if you want to throw it over to you or Matt, I suppose, anyone who, if you had just kind of some little bit of info to share about this.
Matt graciously offered to provide an overview because he's working a little bit more closely with the developer. So I'll let him kind of take the lead. Thanks.
Chair, is it okay if I provide some context?
Yes, right. Definitely.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. I'm Matt Mikulajewski. I'm the Economic Development Director for the city, and I'm working with Tom Otto on this application to the DNR. So what this is a DNR loan program to assist with the remediation of properties to support redevelopment. And we've used this program in the past with the DNR. And how the program works is the DNR awards funding to the city that the city in turn passes through to the developer. The developer then repays us and we in turn repay the DNR. The use of the funding in this case is to assist with some of the soil removal that's necessary to move forward with this primarily affordable housing project at a portion of the former Oscar Mayer facility. And there's some coal and petroleum contamination, and that soil, there's a net volume of soil that needs to be removed off of the site. And because of some of that contamination, it needs to be removed to an appropriate landfill. And so that's what the funding will help pay for. One thing that's a bit unique in this particular application is that the DNR program is for a 10-year loan program. In order to meet some of the funding requirements that the developer has, the developer needs a 20-year note. So what we've agreed in concept to do is to amortize the initial 10-year loan with the developer for 20 years, and then the city would make a balloon payment in year 10 that would take the DNR out of the transaction. We would then enter into a separate loan agreement for the final 10 years where it would be a loan directly between the city and the developer, and we would charge the developer our rate of borrowing for that loan amount plus a little more to just pay for the administrative costs of managing that loan. So at the end of the day, we would be using DNR funding for the first 10 years and we would be using city funding for the second 10 years, but we would repay ourselves for the cost of borrowing plus a little more for administration. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions anyone may have.
Is that, am I good to go?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, technically, yeah. I think the floor is like shared between us. I'm not sure exactly how the Roberts rules, but because it's your discussion. So anyways, I didn't want to interrupt. But I guess my question for you is, what is that loan rate? I guess it's hard for me to visualize this because I don't have the context on it.
Yep. So the loan rate that the developer will have for the DNR loan is 0%. And then the loan rate, so that would be for the first 10 years, it would be 0%. And then for the second 10 years, when the developer has a loan with the city, it would be our borrowing rate, which right now is a little over 3%.
So we're making money on that last half of the 10 years?
Yes, because we would charge maybe, let's say, 0.5% above our borrowing rate just to cover our cost as staff to administer the loan.
Mm, okay. And that's super competitive compared to current rates, no?
Yes, and that's the reason for the financial support, is that it is, especially the 0% borrowing rate for the initial 10 years is, of course, a no-interest loan. So that's why the DNR has this program, because it provides a much better financial package to a developer than the private market.
Okay, so we're incentivizing them to work with us to get the work done. Okay.
Yep.
I think I understand. Thank you, by the way.
Yep. My pleasure.
So Susan and then Christina, I guess?
This sounds to me like a really excellent situation, especially since the builder is planning to be doing low-income housing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's essentially all I have to say, other than I have a question that may or may not be in your ambit, which is there any possibility that contaminated soil could be remediated instead of being landfilled?
I'm not an expert in the details, but I believe the situation here is that there's, on a net basis, there's more. So taking a step back, the DNR always prefers that as much soil stays on the site as possible and is capped. But I think in this case, there's more that has to be removed than they can cap on site. And so that's why it has to be removed, because there's just, with the, I believe with all the stormwater work and all the road infrastructure, there's more that needs to be excavated than they can sort of keep in place.
Thank you.
Now, Christina?
Yes. So how long would the remediation take?
How long in terms of how long their project would be?
Yeah, until it's actually the field is actually, the city is able to use the field.
So they have three phases of this development project. The first two phases are actually already underway, and they've used other funding sources to pay for some of the work that was needed for those first two phases. So this third phase, I believe their plan is to start, I think, next year, sometime next year. So I think the goal would be, if they're successful in getting this loan and all the rest of their financing, I think the goal would be that they would be in the ground next year under construction.
Do we have any other questions?
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Do we need to make a motion to adopt, or was this officially referred to us? Do we need to?
This was officially referred to us. I think the most common paths we would take would be to return to the lead with the recommendation for approval, return to the lead with recommendations. That's if we wanted to provide some comments, or return to the lead with the recommendation for denial if we didn't like it for some reason. So those are kind of it was officially referred to us, and we'll be sending it back to the lead. It's just your choice if you want to approve, provide comments, or deny.
Okay. So those are our three options, everyone. Do we generally agree or comments? Because I didn't hear anyone asking too intense questions. I'm assuming that we generally agree. Does anyone have any additional comments? Susan? Sorry, I think you're muted.
Yeah, I was trying to put a thumb up, but instead I raised my hand. Sorry. I'm thumbs up.
Okay, so that seems like an official motion to approve. Do we need to go through that, or can we just generally do like a thumbs up, thumbs down? What do you think, Greg? Should we do a vote by voice call?
If you can get a second, we can do it.
Okay, so this needs to be official. Sorry, we'll follow parliamentary procedure. So it seems like there is a motion made by Susan to adopt the recommendations as is. Do we have a second on that? Second by Sam Warden. Is there any discussion? We'll do a vote by majority rather than unanimous, just for this one, since it's a more official motion. So all those in favor of the motion to approve the recommendation of authorizing the City of Madison to apply to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for a Ready for Reuse Brownfields Cleanup Zero Interest Loan in the amount not to exceed $1,027,300 for the purpose of assisting in the remediation of contaminated soil at Huxley Yards. If you're in favor of that motion, say aye or raise your hand. Okay, seeing majority of hands up here. Any opposed? Say nay or raise your hand. I don't see anyone doing that. Is there any abstentions? Okay, seeing none, it seems like the motion passes. Thank you very much, everyone.
Yeah, and I would like to give a shout out to Matt and Tom for taking time to come explain this to us. And it's also, you know, really nice to see and important to know that there's lots of sustainability work that's kind of outside of our purview happening in lots of different spaces and areas. So thank you for taking time to come out of your busy schedules. I know both have very busy schedules. So thank you.
Yes, and I got to learn a little bit about what a brownfield is. So, okay. Seems like we can continue on with the agenda. Now we're on to discussion items. So this will be Legistar reference number agenda item number 3, Legistar reference number 85249, the sustainability plan outreach working group, update on upcoming outreach. So if it's Kimberly and is Heather? Yep, Heather, you're here. So if the two of you would like to take the floor.
So in terms of the digital outreach, we're Kai, Heather, and I have had the chance to meet up, and we're in the process of working on things, and we'll be meeting with Greg and Dylan, who's the city communications manager as well, just to touch base and make sure we're all on the same page with those things. But really the main reason why we wanted to have this agenda item is so we could talk about doing some outreach at an upcoming farmer's market. So Heather will share a little bit more about that and get your input.
Yeah, so our plan is we had reached out to see what the process is to set up a table, and we got that information. And so we were looking at possibly October 19th or October 26th. We had a few questions. We were going to meet with Greg and clarify with ahead of time, but we wanted to gauge interest to see who on the committee may be interested if we did some like 1 or 2 hour shifts with helping at the farmers market. Our plan was we'd have some information about the sustainability plan and help educate people there. And also we have a printout of information about PFAS. So we had planned on having some information about that at the table as well. So if we could just do a show of hands for anybody who would be interested in helping with more of the in-person outreach, that would be great. And then I can follow up individually with people to get more information, because it's my understanding that because of quorum, we can't really organize this through email, right? So I can just do it like individually and reach out to people and set it up that way. So yeah, if you could go ahead and either raise your hand like physically or electronically, and I'll take some notes.
Heather, when is the day? What's the day again?
So we were looking at potentially October 19th or October 26th. Because we have to submit a request. And so we were going to, once we got the information, then we were going to see when we could get the table, what date we could get it for. But I can follow up. If people are interested, we can figure it out with your schedules to see when you'd be available and what time. Because it starts early in the morning. So the shifts would be like 7 a.m. to like 2 p.m. And we would do like 1 or 2 hour shifts throughout the day. So it would be on a Saturday if we do the Dane County Farmers Market. And if we wanted to think about other farmers markets, we could as well. But wanted to see like who would be interested in that. So, okay. I'm taking the notes now, if you can keep your hands up real quick. Okay.
It partly depends on which Saturday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for me too, actually, I should say that. I might not be in town for the 19th, but I would be in town for the 26th. Although, if we have the materials ready, we could just do both.
Yeah, well, you know, the 26th would actually be better for me as well. So maybe we should just plan to try to go for that date. Does that work for you too, Christina?
Yes, it does. The 26th is better. Yeah.
It's better. Okay, great. Okay, so I have Kai, Christina, Sue, and I see Natalie's hand too.
Yes.
Oh, great. Okay, cool.
I believe Alder Conklin also had their hand out earlier.
Okay, great. Yeah. Yeah, I know we've talked before too about more of the in-person outreach. Great.
And okay. Natalie Lesnick.
Yeah, Lesson Jack. Lesson and Jack. By the way, am I allowed to turn my camera on, or am I? I know I'm still not a full committee member because I have to be approved by the Common Council, but should I turn my camera on or not?
Greg, what's the official ruling on that? I think the answer is no, right?
You know, I think it's, I don't think it matters a ton.
I think it would be great to see her.
But I mean, if you want to pop your camera on and just say hi for a second, you may want to turn it off. I guess there is some outside world where the council doesn't want you on this committee. So, which is not going to happen, but, you know.
That okay, is I'll sort of turn it on for a minute and turn it back off.
And we'll certainly make time for introductions at our next meeting.
Okay. I actually don't know if I can turn it on.
Oh, I think you need to give her permission. So, So you need to give her permission to do that, Craig. Because she's entering in as a guest and doesn't have that status, that's why.
Does that work now?
Let me try. Should work. It's loading.
Otherwise, we'll be saving the big reveal till the next meeting, barring council approval. And Heather, let me know. I there are some questions. I apologize that your email came in right after 5 o'clock, and then I had set my emails to start at 6. It hit this perfect window. So I apologize for not getting back to you till today.
Oh,
we'll
no,
give you some
yeah.
answers on your various things related to Canva. The city doesn't have a Canva that we've been using, and we'll get you answers on how it looks and operates in terms of, you know, letting everyone know that you're part of the SMC. And obviously we can post everything about quorum. It's just a public notice we have to send out, but it's not very arduous if it's in person.
Okay. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Well, wonderful. Yeah. Thank you, everyone. So we'll be following up soon then. And yeah, we're excited to get out there and engage with people. Yeah, did you have anything else you wanted to add, Kim?
Sorry, I was chewing. Oh.
I didn't. Did Kai, did you want to share something? Or?
Oh, I was just going to say that some of the things that we're doing with graphic design, too. So that'll be forthcoming at a later date. That's the only thing, just a mention of it. Yep. Okay, well, if that is everything, I'm quite excited. I've been tabling at the farmer's market recently for election related items, so I know how it works, so I should be able to, you know, use some of that experience to table for this as well. So thank you. Moving on with the agenda, discussion item number 4, Legistar number 85250, sustainability plan, the accountability working group, next steps for implementation. I believe that's Susan, Alder Wahili, Alder Conklin, and I don't know who else is on that.
John Ugier, Alder John Ugier.
And Alder John Ugier.
Still on there, right. And we're being led by our inestimable Greg May, who I believe is going to be presenting his, what do you call it, the great accountability spreadsheet or something or other?
Yeah, we have, you know, we're pulling together some implementation spreadsheet stuff. I know, Susan, you said you might wanted to share on this, but it sounds like after a brief discussion, you're interested in tabling this until our October meeting. Is that correct? And when there'll be more to share?
Yeah, I think there will be more to share in October.
Okay. So if that's the case, it would probably be best just to officially get on the record a motion to table till our October meeting.
Okay.
Okay. So
that's,
So there's nothing.
I'll just need a first and a second on it.
Okay.
Motion to table to our October meeting.
Actually, Greg, it might be that we need to table it until January because our accountability working group isn't meeting again until early December.
Why don't we table it for an indefinite amount of time, and then me and you and Greg can decide when the right time will be to bring it back onto the table, right?
All
right. Does that sound good? It just gives us some flexibility, right? Yep. Do you accept that friendly amendment?
I do.
Yep. Okay. Do we have a second on that?
motion to table.
Motion to table. Second on that motion to table indefinitely. Second by Riley Willman. Okay. So with that, is there any discussion? Seems like this is not a hot topic issue. So if everything's okay, we can do a vote by unanimous approval. If no one's opposed to passing this motion, then this motion will just pass. So no opposition recorded in 5-4. Oh, sorry, Alder Govindarajan.
Question. You said the motion is to table this, correct? Are we tabling it or passing it?
I believe we're tabling it so that me, Susan, and Greg can decide when would be an appropriate time to bring it back again onto the agenda for a later date. We just don't know which later date. That's the only thing.
Got it. I thought you mentioned we were passing. Thank you.
No. If I might have used the wrong terminology. It's possible. I'm not as keen on Robert's rules as you might be. So I'm still learning here. Okay. So yes, let me rephrase that. Motion to table indefinitely until the chairs and Greg or our staff decides it's proper. So if that's okay, vote by unanimous approval, still pending. Sorry, Alder Conklin. Hopefully I'm doing this right.
I'm sorry, Chair, but I do want to guide you a little bit.
Yes, please.
We're going to ask to either place this on file without prejudice, so that way we can bring it back at a later date. Because you said to place it indefinitely. I don't know what you said, but I think the correct motion we're looking for is to place this on file without prejudice, so it will be able to be brought back the same exact way, just at a different date.
Okay. Susan, would you be willing to friendly amend that? Take that, because you're allowed to change the motion. If the person who originally made it, you can accept that if you want to change your motion to...
I accept Alder Conklin's wording about placing on file without prejudice.
Okay, so if that's back on the table, Riley Woman retains the second, if that's okay. I see a nod there. Okay, so vote me in as approval to place on file without prejudice for the discussion items 85250, Sustainability Plan Accountability Working Group, next after implementation. If vote me in as approval, if there's no opposition, recorded in 5-4-3-2-1. Okay, that motion passes, and I believe now we've done it the correct way, and we're all learning something here about Robert's rules. So thank you very much to both the elders for teaching me the right way to do it. So yeah, very good to learn. Okay, we can move on to the next item at this point. That'll be discussion item number 5, Legistar reference number 85251, discussion of memo highlighting sustainability and the upcoming budget.
Yeah, I'll launch this, and I'm looking forward to Kimberly joining me. At our last sustainability meeting, SMC meeting, we discussed the possibility and approved the idea that we should produce a memo in which we would identify items in the proposed budget cut document that was at the time available to us that would negatively impact efforts to implement the sustainability plan update. And Kimberly and I actually produced this document. We sent it out to you. It was sent in twice in the email that Greg sent out, looking for comment on the draft that Kimberly and I produced. I don't know whether everybody just thought it was fine the way it is, but we did not receive any comments. So has everyone had a chance to at least glance through this memo? It was attached to the email that Greg sent out for this meeting. Maybe a show of hands to indicate that you've had a chance to look at it, or are you reading it now? Okay, Sam, you've read it.
Yeah, I think it was well put together and thought out, and it looked great. So I didn't really have any further comments.
Thank you. Would other members like a few minutes to actually read it? If so, just put your hand up so we can tell what's going on.
Yes, please. I
okay.
Didn't read it. Sorry.
Okay, let's take 5 minutes for people to glance through and get a better understanding of what this memo is. And when you're done, just raise your hand so that we know.
Is this a good time to check in?
It looks like a few people are still reading.
Okay.
If you're done reading, just throw your hand up in the air. All right. I want to emphasize at the beginning that this memo would be going to decision makers within the city, and not going. The idea is not to send this beyond city staff and the alders. So I just wanted to mention that, and key, at least to Kimberly and me, and if I could speak for you, Kimberly, and please jump in whenever. Our point is that failure to, it's in the last paragraph of the memo, failure to achieve the goals stated in the sustainability plan update will especially harm lower income people while also hurting everyone who lives here now, and even more so who will live here in the future, because this is really a stitch in time, save nine kind of situation. If we don't do these things now, it'll be far more expensive for the city and worse for the inhabitants in the future. So we wanted to really emphasize that the losing the capacity to implement the sustainability plan update items that we've identified would have a big impact. So with that, and I'm going to now turn it over to whomever wants to speak, and I'd like, Kimberly, if you would take the ball now, thanks, in the discussion.
Just add some thoughts, or I think the big thing is just that, you know, I think Greg today was out doing BRT stuff, and there are a lot of things that the city is doing, and of course the staff are doing to move the plan forward, but a lot of the cuts that we listed not only roll back certain things, but really impede the ability to even start the planning process with a lot of things in the plan. And so I think they can seem not significant, but really do have a much bigger impact in terms of like directly being a contradiction to the plan that we're trying to, you know, get going and get people involved with. So, yeah. And, you know, looking for if there are any language changes or, you know, things you'd like to add to emphasize more, that would be helpful. And if you're aware of any other things that we could add just to the list, we'd love to hear your feedback.
Yeah, I apologize for not sending this earlier. I guess there's two things that I would maybe recommend. Is that one, if you could total the amount together, I would add them, but I just have this, you know, huge Zoom screen in front of me, so I can't pull up the calculator in front of me. I guess I use my phone, but like total, finding the total amount of budget that we're recommending to keep. And then also, if it's possible, just the reality of budget cuts. I mean, it would be nice if we get all of it. I potentially ranking the importance of them might be useful in case, you know, you couldn't get everything just with the reality of a budget cut. But that's just two ideas that I had. But it is very well written, and I think that you did a very good job, the two of you, on defining why it was important to keep each of these in and how it aligns with the plan. So I was very impressed with that.
I have to give Kimberly a lot of credit for identifying all of the items from the sustainability plan itself.
It's very well laid out. It's written like a lawyer.
I would just add that one of the things I've noticed lately, of course, paying attention to what's going on with whatever election and so forth, is that the importance of sustainability seems to always be missed. It's not top of mind for many, many people. And that's one of the things that motivated me to want to be doing this, because it does need to be more top of mind. And if the sustainable, if the SMC doesn't sort of bring this to the fore, then who's going to do it? So that's over to you, Kimberly.
Helpful to add things up. I do want, if in terms of ranking things, I suppose, are there any things that would stand out to people in terms of, oh, this would be a top priority, over like some input on what, how people would think about ranking things could be helpful, because they're all just very different items and it's hard.
I see Christina's hand up.
Yeah, I see building inspector. I think that would be a high priority, considering there is, you know, the sustainability office has this, the implementing this program, you know, to reduce energy, you know, to encourage energy efficiency with the main mesh. The program they're running, right? So that probably would be a top priority.
Maybe I would also move number five, the transit proposals, just up to either three or four. I think they're really related. But maybe three. That's the only thing that I could see that would really change in my mind for it. But otherwise, everything's pretty similar. And I like the order, actually, that you did, because I'm looking at it, and yet one and two are, I think, already the most important. So I think it was ordered pretty well. But I don't know. For me, Metro matters a lot more, because I used to rely solely on Metro to get places. So for me, it's weighted. But obviously, I'll defer to the two of you if you think that that would be better there or not.
Kimberly, isn't this the order in which they appear in the sustainable plan, sustainability plan?
I think they're in the order of the document that lists all the proposed cuts. So it's aligned.
Yeah, that's with that. Right. It's about the cut document, right?
Yeah. So I think if we were to put things in order, maybe we would emphasize it in like the, or we wouldn't like reorder the list per se for ease of their reference, but then maybe a kind of add, we could add a sentence or something like that in the intro part, putting some extra emphasis or.
No, I think I'll take back my recommendation. I think the only thing that would maybe help this is that if you just could sum up the amount that we're recommending stay, I think that's the only thing that could add to this. I think it's very well ordered. And yeah, you clearly thought about how to present this. So thank you.
Thank you. I have an additional question. The cover, the memo at the top, we have selected city department directors, TBD and CCs, a question mark. My initial thought was to make sure that the directors of the departments that we identify, building inspection, economic development, and so on, would be copied or would be in the to list. I'm looking for ideas about who, if anyone, would want to be copied. Aside from, you know, the editor of the Cap Times, sorry. Strike that from the record.
Well, I think that, I think we're going to send a letter to all alders, and then I think we'll include, relevant budget staff, Dave Schmidtke, and folks who are kind of helping work with the budget part of it, and they can help us perhaps forward it to relevant staff as well internally. They'll have a better understanding of all the perhaps more nuanced conversations that are happening, and also obviously CC.
So, Greg, would you and Jessica would help us with that?
Yeah, we can help you if there's, if everyone is okay with the memo as it is, kind of as a next step about it. Obviously, go to all alders, and then we can maybe have a brief discussion about who else should be CC'd.
I did a preliminary calculation on. I think I calculated 6,416,245 total dollars of keeping in the budget. I did not subtract the additional cuts that you, well, the $20,000 cut, and then I don't think there was a dollar amount added for the proposals to park department. But just for point of reference, I guess. That's all.
Kai, I actually am a little concerned about that. And the reason I'm saying that is that some of these proposals or items have impact on many things in addition to the sustainability plan update. So it kind of overstates the cost of implementing the sustainability plan update. I mean, these are going to impact, the well-being of low-income people who are going to get less food, or, there's a whole bunch of other implications of some of these cuts. So I don't know. I mean, I think adding budget figure could actually, I mean, just adding up the total numbers is
you think a it'll little look messy. Bad.
I think it's messy. I think that there's a lot more entailed in that number than just impact on the implementation of the sustainability plan update.
I do think, looking through the numbers, the majority of that is actually the Metro Transit, because it's 1.2 million for Saturday, one night service, and they're significantly talking about cutting that down. So the most of the other ones are maybe a staff person salary, or perhaps the parks proposal is a little bit big, but the rest of it is actually not that significant, maybe a million total. So yeah, perhaps it would distract from the fact that the majority of that funding is coming from cutting the service on weekends, late night, and certain routes. So,
well, maybe we should highlight that in the memo itself. Good point.
Yeah. I think because it seems especially significant because the city's going through this process of kind of launching the new services as well. So it really is we spent all this time. And I get that one's part of the operating and the other is coming from the capital budget, but it still just seems very counterproductive considering all the work that's been going into trying to improve things.
Yeah.
Despite critiques that may exist.
Plus a huge impact on more VMT, single occupancy vehicle miles traveled, that would result among, people being harmed when they need to get to work under those circumstances and so forth. Well, y'all, thank you. It sounds to me like we should modify the first page a little bit to indicate that we are especially concerned about the proposal that would affect transit, and that we're basically getting approval, like Sam said, when we first opened this, from our colleagues here in the SMC.
So do we need to take any official action on this, Greg? Does this need approval from us?
Well, this is, I hate to unfortunately rely so much on Alder Conklin and Alder Govindarajan, but I appreciate their deeper knowledge on this. My understanding is this has been discussed and finalized, and we can move it forward. But if there needs to be in a vote, let me know.
It doesn't say discussion, Alder. Sorry, Alder Conklin.
Yeah, that's all I was going to say. Greg has it right that this doesn't need a motion because this was just like a discussion. So this doesn't need an approval or anything.
I finally got one right.
Okay. Thank you, Kai. And I can't tell you how wonderful it was to work with Kimberly. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, shout out to Susan for laying the groundwork.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect. Well, thank you both for doing this big lift, bringing it to our attention. And excited to see that sent out. So it's kind of cool to see something come out of Sustainability Committee. At that point, seems like we can move on into the agenda. We're going through this really fast. We're, you know, 5 agenda items in and already on this last one. So agenda item number 6, that'll be 8, let's start note reference number 85253, Building Energy Savings Program, first year update.
Perfect. Thank you, Kai. Yeah, we just wanted to provide some updates because September 6th was the deadline for the first year of our Building Energy Savings Program. And so I think you're going to be hearing about it a little bit more as the weeks come along, as we're kind of reaching out to folks about compliance and getting more solid numbers. I just will kind of briefly run through this presentation just to remind folks about the Building Energy Savings Program. Can everybody see this? What? It's full screen. It looks like, okay, great. It's open on like 3 screens on my computer. City has climate energy goals. You all know this, but we have the 100% renewable energy goal for city operations by 2030. We have the net zero emissions for city operations by 2030. And then we have the net zero community-wide emissions by 2050. And so how can the city impact community-wide emissions, those things that are kind of in the broader community that are outside of buildings, outside of our control, is something that we're always thinking about. So that's part of the reason why the Building Energy Savings Program was passed. And feel free to jump in with questions at any time if you have them.
I'm sorry, Greg, I do have one question. I just want to know, are you changing the PowerPoint because it's still just like on the first title? So I just wanted to make sure we can't see what you're talking about, really.
Thank you. Maybe this one will look better. Perfect. Thank you, Alder Conklin. Zoom gets so weird when you're trying to present and also co-host. I appreciate the shout out. So yeah, so here are the goals and actions we've shared, but really it's this net zero community-wide emissions. How do we impact the broader community and the buildings that the city doesn't own, but are our big contributors here? And just to kind of shout this out again, when we look at our community-wide emissions by sector, commercial energy usage is the largest contributor to emissions here in Madison based on our last greenhouse gas inventory. So commercial energy is taking up a large portion of, is contributing a huge portion to our greenhouse gases. And so when we're thinking about 2050 community-wide goals, the biggest bucket here is commercial energy. The city did some analysis a little bit before my time, kind of looking at all the commercial buildings in our community and trying to identify where the energy was coming from. And so, on the left is kind of a wonky row, but these are the size of buildings on square feet, how many buildings exist that are that size. So, there's only 13, so they're a very small percentage of our building. And then how much of the annual energy usage is theirs from our commercial energy. So the really big takeaway from this is that, the very large buildings are using a huge amount of energy in our community. About 14% of commercial buildings are responsible for 66% of our commercial energy usage. So the biggest bucket in our community right now in terms of greenhouse gases is commercial buildings. And only and the 14%, the largest 14% of these commercial buildings are responsible for 66%. So when we're thinking about low-hanging fruit, it's these enormous commercial buildings that present a great opportunity to reduce community-wide emissions, which is why, I should also note that kind of what are those buildings using it on? Actually, a huge portion of it is heating. Of course, that kind of makes sense in Wisconsin, but a lot of this is coming from the heating systems that kind of people leave on, and you turn on a thermostat and then you kind of forget it, and equipment over time can become less effective. And so we want to encourage people to really kind of keep and be constantly monitoring what their energy usage is like. And so the city passed the Building Energy Savings Program last year, and we were the first in Wisconsin to do it. But Milwaukee has joined us as well. And so the city is asking our largest commercial building owners to share their energy data, because, you may look at your energy usage year over year of, if you were just looking at your house and if it stayed the same, you'd think you'd be doing pretty good. But if you found out that your neighbor was using 50% less energy than you, that would be something you'd want to flag. And so that's kind of where commercial benchmarking gets its value, is that it is, letting you see what your peers are using. And, maybe you're doing really well, or maybe that clues you into the fact that you're not doing so well and you had no idea, because all you could compare it against was your own building. And so, a little bit more information about the program. And I apologize for reiterating this to a lot of you, but just kind of, I feel like always worthy of, with so many programs here at the city, always kind of worth re-upping, and this one is really having its moment. So the program has two components. It has an annual energy benchmarking, that's for buildings 25,000 square feet and larger. So those buildings will just be sharing their energy data with the city, and we'll be sharing that kind of information back out to our commercial building owners. So for buildings 25,000 square feet and larger, we're just collecting their building energy and kind of sharing that information, anonymized information, more broadly with the large commercial building owners here. And then the second component is for buildings that are 50,000 square feet and larger. We will be requiring building tune-ups, which is, making sure that these building owners are checking and adjusting their building's energy systems, looking at lighting and HVAC to make sure they're operating at their best. And so that's just for some of our larger buildings, to make sure that they're getting into the kind of nitty gritty. And we've actually found that the energy savings alone are worth more than the process to do a tune-up. Just the amount of money you can save by having a more efficient system is worth the price of doing a tune-up. For a little bit of context on size, so 50,000 square feet are some of the largest commercial buildings here in our community. You may recognize some of them from around town, but once you're over 100,000 square feet, we're talking about a pretty large commercial building, a lot of office buildings that are kind of on the fringe of town. This top row again is 50,000 square feet. So the Churchill Building, which is right down here on the square, right next to the Historical Museum, is one in the middle of the 1600 or 16 North Carroll Street. Anyway, that's just, I always feel like important to give people a sense of scale of the buildings we're talking about here. The benefits of, of improving building efficiency, the program is trying to reduce energy usage, it's trying to reduce energy bills. We know that will reduce greenhouse gas emissions, which by less energy used by, our utilities, and then that will also improve air quality. Again, there are a number of these programs that exist around the country. So modeled ours off of a number of peer nations peer communities. And again, Milwaukee has just added another program. They've joined ours, kind of looking at us as a model. So we're happy to be leading the state in that way. It's a little bit too much information here. I feel like we've kind of covered some of this. Just to remind you that we have this as a phased start. So just for this year, on September 6th, our largest buildings had to comply. So that is the largest buildings. That's those buildings that are 100,000 square feet and larger. And that was on September 6th. So those are the big, office buildings. And then next year, we're going to ask buildings that are 50,000 to 99,000 square feet, 99,000 square feet to participate. And then in 2026, our smallest commercial buildings, although 25,000 square feet is still a relatively large building. But anyway, so we have this kind of three-tiered start. So just this year, on September 6th, we required our largest buildings to comply, and we had our deadline there. We've had some resources on our website for folks. We've got a whole webpage devoted to it. It is full of help desk knowledge material. We have a person who is responding to every question that we receive. We've been doing, there's videos on there. There is FAQs. We have been hosting lunch and learns with building owners. We've had pretty great attendance at all of these events. You know, we walked them through how to do this whole process, perhaps a little too much information again. I got a little too deep in the weeds with this presentation. You know, MG&E has been a very helpful partner in this process. They launched a new program called My Meter, which will allow the city to, you know, it'll essentially automatically upload this data. So for building owners, they won't have to go through every year and add this data and participate. You know, once they're signed up for this first year, they've done the heavy lifting. And then this data, thanks to MG&E's My Meter, will automatically be uploaded next year for the city. So we're kind of, it's a front-loaded process where as soon as we get building owners on board, their data will be shared with us going down the road. And so it'll be easier in years to come. And we're grateful for this. It's been a very helpful part of the process, kind of this new My Meter program they rolled out. We're going to be sharing our performance scorecards now that we have finished the program for this year. We're going to be sending them out to our building owners. This will share data on how much energy they use, what percentile they're in, and where they could be making efficiency gains. I apologize if this is so small on this on your screen, but it essentially is letting building owners know how much greenhouse gas they're contributing, where they are in terms of the city, what percentile they are at, and then kind of providing a few more, you know, just information about where savings could be. Is it in heating? Is it in cooling? You know, time of year, where are they seeing a difference? So we're really excited that this program can provide some analytics for them, for our largest commercial building owners, to help them be better actors and to help them understand where they are in the sphere of Madison. You know, again, it'll be anonymous data. So you're not going to know that, you know, X, Y, and Z building is a terrible polluter or something, but they will know where they are in the broader community. So which will be really helpful to give owners a perspective on their energy usage. And then just also trying to connect folks with existing money. So Focus on Energy provides incentives for energy efficiency and benchmarking. They provide up to $1,200 for building owners. So just trying to make sure that our largest commercial building owners know that there is funding at Focus on Energy to do this work. And then of course the Inflation Reduction Act has a lot of funding and tax credits for businesses for renewable energy and for building energy efficiency and for electric vehicles. And so just trying to make sure we're getting that to everybody. Then that's just the end of the presentation. And so let me stop sharing here quickly. So again, as I said, September 6th was our deadline. We had more than 65% of building owners participating and complying, which we're very happy with. It's a high number for our first year. And now becomes the process of kind of making sure that the last 35% of building owners are participating. And so we're working with building inspection to send out notices to folks, letting them know that they are out of compliance, that they have 90 days to rectify the situation before fines become possible. And so those just have gone out. We've just started to hear a lot more contact from folks. I think now that it's real and it's not just some city staff saying, hey, you need to do this. We're getting some more compliance there and folks are participating in the program and we're offering deadlines and extensions and resources for everybody who's participating. Because I don't think, from our perspective, we're not looking to hand out fines and fees. We're not looking to be that kind of person. That's kind of a last resort option for people who are willfully not participating in the program and just trying to make sure that we're connecting our building owners to as much resources as they can and making sure that just the program is successful. Again, that's an overview of where we are at now. We've passed our September 6th deadline. We have sent out notices to the last 35% of building owners who haven't finished the program. And we're hoping to have that much more data to share with you in the coming months about what commercial building energy looks like in our community and a little bit more updates on the program. So I have talked for way too long, but that's an update on the program and where it stands. And we're hoping to have kind of much more like data that to share about where everybody is staying in the next couple of months. So any questions? And I might be the last person standing between you and dinner, so I understand if questions are not popular. Yeah, Kai?
Just one question. Is that PowerPoint going to be made available to look at for later?
Sure. Yeah, I can attach this to I'll attach this to the Legistar, of course. Yeah, because I've shared it here. There's kind of a building energy dorks committee that's meeting tomorrow at the comedy club, and they're doing, you get 5 minutes and you have to do 15 slides. You get 20 seconds. And I think the goal of the whole, it's at the comedy club. And I think the whole goal is to get flustered. So this is the presentation that's going there. So if you want to see a repeat comedy on state and talk to people about building energy efficiency, I'll be there tomorrow. But yes, I'll attach that. Thank you. It's a good point, Kai.
Yeah, thank you.
Susan. You. Yep.
My comment is that this is amazing. The struggle to get this launched, and then the implementation that you guys have done, it's just extraordinary. And it's really great to hear that Milwaukee has already followed suit. And I just have to believe that just the awareness, the point that you made in opening your presentation about if you learn that your neighbor's use is 50% less than yours, it's going to motivate you to do better. I mean, that's just really important stuff. So again, I just want to give kudos to everybody on your staff who did this work, and thank you.
Yeah, we've had a great team here, but also hats off to everyone here. I know that there's a lot of folks in this room had a hand in making this possible and crafting this policy. And so, yeah, we're really excited. We've had over 100 building owners participate already. And so it's just very exciting, but it's still a little bit of work to be done to make sure we're getting those last few people who need to get us this data. But we're, even as it stands right now, very excited with how it's gone for this first year and looking to get that compliance number even higher. And more to come down the road.
Any further questions for Mr. Greg May, our staff? Okay, seeing none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn. I feel like I should say it again. Motion to adjourn. Did someone want to do that? Someone say it. Sam, did you? Okay. Motion made by Sam Warden. Is there a second? Okay. Second by Christina Carvajal. So with that, this is one of those things we can do vote by unanimous approval. Or sorry, is there any discussion? Okay. Seeing none, vote by unanimous approval. If no one opposes this motion, then it passes unanimously. Seeing none in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. Meeting is adjourned at 5:44 p.m. Did I say that right? Yep. Wow. This is a record time SMC meeting. So thank you, everyone. And yeah, we'll see you next time.
Thank you all.